Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Chatwalk Live, which is being brought to you by Jack Watts. Here I am broadcasting live from Folly Beach, South Carolina. And I mean to tell you, it is a magnificent day down here. And when you look out over the sea and over the beautiful expanse of the low country of South Carolina, you think everything is doing well and God is in control. When you look at the newspapers or the radio shows or talk television or the news, it isn't quite the same way, is it? What do we have? We have difficulty in our own country. There's a crisis of credibility in Washington that starts at the White House, goes straight through the Congress on both sides of the aisle, and a loss of belief in the basic institutions of the United States of America, and people have a fundamental distrust of what is happening. Why is that? Why is it that this great experiment that began with the Pilgrims, followed by the Puritans, who were creating a city on a hill for the entire world to emulate, has turned into something that has, at this juncture, become as divisive as we were, creating a situation that is obviously not as bad as before the Civil War, which was the bloodiest war of our nation's history, by the way. But we have difficulty throughout the country because people do not believe in their government. We have candidates that run who really aren't qualified. Their character is in question. Their skill is in question. Their belief system are in question. Their birth certificates are in question. What is going on in America? And why can't we get good candidates, the best people, to run for political office? I live in Atlanta. Atlanta is roughly 6 million people. That's how many people live in the entire nation of Israel. And yet they can produce people like Benjamin Netanyahu, who is obviously a strong leader. We have 310 million people in America, and we have a hard time getting any quality candidate. Clearly, when the media gets hold of somebody, they run them into the ground and they eviscerate. We've seen it happen several times in this election cycle alone. We've seen it happen with congressmen. We've seen it happen with senators. We've seen it happen with governors in New Jersey and in Illinois. The governor of Illinois is going to prison, Blago. Why? Because he tried to sell the Senate seat of Barack Hussein Obama, now our president. What's going on in America? What is it that is the problem with us, and what are we trying to do? Let's talk to somebody and see what they think. Here we go. Good afternoon. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air. At least I think you are. Good afternoon. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air. I guess that did. Gary?
Yeah, this is Gary. I didn't press one, though. I was listening. I thought maybe you had other people in the queue.
Well, I picked you first because I know that you have some answers to the questions that I'm asking. Welcome. This is my friend Gary McCauley, who lives in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Been a friend of mine for 30 years. Gary, what's on your mind for Jack Watts Live?
Well, I'm already sick of the politics, you know. It's a every night, and of course I don't watch it every day, but I'm sick of it because on the conservative side, which is where I stand, and I'm not ashamed of that, that they're just, they still aren't out there talking about the solutions, or they're just sniping at one another, and they don't seem to have the ability to cast a vision for America that people can grab onto and put some teeth into it that would really give people a reason to listen. I mean, once you've heard one night, you've heard every night, really, kind of like the debates were.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that these candidates lack vision, lack answers, lack character, all the above, or are they just not the best people that are qualified to run for the office?
Well,
what is your take on people?
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty pregnant question because some of each, but not all of each. And, I think that the people that handle them by polls and other devices that say, don't say this, don't do this, and they're not speaking with conviction from where they are, at least not 100% of the time. And I think the things that they major on are not the things that they really believe in. They're just things that they think will get them elected. So,
well, I think that you've hit something on the head right there. It's instead of leading, they are leading by following. They take a look at what focus groups say and what polls say, and they have handlers that tell them, you need to be at this spot for this position to get the greatest amount of people to follow you and vote for you. So you end up having people who are really a shadow of who they really are. Let me give you an example of this. In 1982, I worked for a man who was running for Congress, and his best friend was a senator from Utah, Jake Garn, who was chairman of the Senate Banking Committee and one of Ronald Reagan's best friends. And as you'll remember, in 1980, not only did Reagan defeat Jimmy Carter handily, but the Senate went over to the Republicans. Well, Jake Garn, as chairman of the Banking Committee, was a big deal in Washington, and his best friend running for Congress in the 4th District of Georgia meant that we were really very special people. And we got one of the best handlers, one of the best consultants out of Washington. And this guy would fly in and tell us what we were supposed to do. And I remember sitting in a meeting with a candidate. And they said, well, this is what we want you to do, and they gave him a list of what you want to be, and they gave him about 8 things that they thought that he should be. And I remember just sitting there, and here I was in a PhD program at Emory, and just a graduate student, and I just furrowed my brow. Well, the candidate looked over at me and said, what do you think, Jack? And I said, well, instead of trying to make you the best of what they want you to be, wouldn't we be better off just trying to make the best of who you really are? And he said, I like that. They went nuts. They said, you will lose the election if you follow that kind of stupidity. Well, he didn't end up losing the election. But to his credit, he did follow and decide to be who he really was. And it didn't work for him, but he was at least a man of character in that part. And I frankly think that we have very few people, you know, that are willing to do that. Interestingly, at least from my perspective, I think that the one that tells the truth by far the most is Newt Gingrich. He'll get up there and he'll say exactly what he thinks and say exactly who he is. My thought is that he has been through the ringer. He's been very powerful. He's been absolutely humiliated by being censured by the House of Representatives, which is the only Speaker of the House ever to be.
Right.
But in his falling down on the job, so to speak, and being cast out, the humiliation from it brought him to his knees. And he's a repentant person and has decided, I'm going to do what's right regardless of the consequences. And that's what I've seen him do for the most part. I think he's got a grudge against Romney, which it's easy to see how that would happen, but it isn't serving him well. And frankly, it's not serving the people who want to get rid of Barack Obama very well either. What do you think?
Well, I think people think he's too smart and they're afraid of him, you know, and not that they disagree with him, mind you, but that they're afraid of him. They believe the negatives that are spoken against him as, you know, that are prognosticated as being what he would do if he were elected. And that is, you know, I think Newt is a person who learns on his feet, and he's smarter than most people in the room. And he has the ability to think through problems, which is what's not happening in the other areas. We just talked about them having other people think for them so that they just read a script and you know, face the cameras and do that, where Newt, and Newt has the ability to be in a situation where something changes radically, and he can still stand on his feet and be articulate. I think his biggest problem that I have seen, and that you know me well enough to know that I'm not afraid to say what I think, and that is that he's a bit arrogant. And you know, if you were that smart, maybe you'd be a little bit arrogant too. But I think sometimes he overreaches, and that creates a situation where it, for just a period of time, it makes people listen to the people that say he's this and this and this, and not to what he's actually saying or actually has said. And he stepped in it a little bit himself with things that he could control. And I don't know why he does that, but you know, other than that, in foreign policy, in domestic economic policy, you know, he had American Solutions going before he ever ran for president. And I remember when he took apart the Detroit, the politics of Detroit and the politics of the school system and the government there, and I read his book, and I'll tell you, it was incredible the way he articulated with facts and figures and no smoke and mirrors, just facts and figures, what was really wrong. And what he was saying was absolutely politically incorrect every way it could be. But if you did the things he prescribed, things would change in Detroit. But sadly, no one's listening, and of course, nothing has changed.
Well, let's talk about the other side of the aisle for a minute. I know that in 2008, when Barack Obama was running as a candidate, there were millions of people who were so disillusioned with the mounting debt that we had in the United States, with two unpopular wars, with you know, with George Bush and policies that he instituted, that when Barack Obama came along, he was looked at and almost like the savior of the nation, which frankly is something that he really kind of likes, I think. And people believed in him heart and soul. Now, how he has governed since then with an administration that has really taken the debt and put it on steroids, so that we went from $10 trillion to close to $16 trillion now, with another 4 or 5 in the works, and no budget for nearly 3 years. No budget for nearly 3 years. That's unbelievable to me. But at any rate, his ability to lead and to be the person that he said he was has come under some substantial scrutiny. Now, interestingly, there are still millions of people, millions, who believe in him heart and soul and refuse to think that there's anything wrong with him, regardless of the facts. Now, what is it about him that generates that kind of loyalty? What is it about him that has people so enamored that they are willing to believe what he says, even when the facts clearly contradict it? What do you see about that, Gary? What are the things that says to you about that whole section of American people?
Well, it's on one hand, it's simple. Most people that are the people that you describe as being heart and soul into Barack Obama and his vision for America are people who are being programmed by the media when they're not being programmed by Barack Obama, and that they take all of their they don't go across any bandwidth at all. They stick with a certain media source, and that media source for a year, 2 years, first 2 years of his office, they just fawned over him every possible way they could, and nothing he did was wrong. Even when he made colossal errors, they were not critical of him. And so it's like they're living in a fairy tale, in a world that's not real. And in that world, it's not too painful for some people, and especially people that are being taken care of by the administration in one manner or form, whether they're receiving on the receiving end of billions of dollars of government investment that they squandered and passed around among their friends for political influence and so forth. But the bottom line is that Barack Obama has a vision. He has an amazing ability to articulate that vision, but almost nothing that he stood for and said he was going to do in America on the social areas or the economic areas has come to fruition in any form that can be defensible. And therefore, you don't hear them. The only time you hear them talking about it is when they make something out of nothing. They make a connection that cannot be made in facts. But it doesn't matter, because the media is not going to say, Barack, oh, where'd you get that statistic? They're not going to hold him to account. So he just there's so much that's fantasy out there, and I fear that Americans are afraid to consider that perhaps his vision is really not what it is, and that he doesn't have the ability to lead people and lead our nation and the countries of the world in a better direction. And to me, he's a scary person because he's so glib and so good at communicating, and he's full-time campaigning now. I just saw an email today of the buses that he bought from Canada, $2 million buses that he flies from. He gets on the buses, he makes a stop, then they put the buses in a plane and fly it to his next stop. He flies to the next stop, and he gets in and uses those buses for campaigning. And I mean, it's the Democratic Party is not spending one penny for that campaign. It's being paid for by you and me, the taxpayer. And so we don't have leadership in Washington. We have somebody who is doing more behind the scenes that you cannot see than what he's doing out in front. And they just create one crisis after another to divert our attention away from the real things that they're doing in the corners and in the offices of Washington, D.C., that are changing the structure of things that really are going to, we're going to wake up in 4 more years of Obama, and we're going to wake up with a country that he will have a leader, all right. He'll be a king. And it's just sad. I mean, to your question, your original question, Barack Obama does not have the ability to cast a vision that he can lead others to buy into, execute, and bring to fruition. What he is bringing to fruition is happening behind the scenes. Everything he does out front is really a facade to keep you from understanding what he's really doing behind the scenes. And that's why we need to send somebody up there that can beat him, and we need to send some, like Reagan did, get the Congress changed over so that we can at least put some brakes on where we're going, because the Fed is printing money like it's going out of style and devaluing the dollar. It's just, there are so many things happening that you just would say, why would anybody be doing this with the unemployment that we have and all of that? And why would somebody want to raise taxes? I think the reason is because they believe chaos is the best way for us to get to the place where we will forfeit our liberties for some kind of security. And I think they're banking on that.
Well, that's a pretty cynical view of what the goals of the Obama administration are. I certainly hope that you are incorrect. Now, the one thing that I wanted to go back to was the people who supported him, who continue to do so now in the face of a record that doesn't mirror what he promised. They consistently use as a defense, he created a mess. Excuse me. He inherited a mess from George Bush.
Right.
He couldn't possibly fix it in this short of time. His plan is working. It just needs more deficit spending for it to finally work, which I hear this from people routinely and repeatedly. And, boy, I mean, that's kind of like somebody having a credit card and says there's no max, go out and spend whatever you want, and there'll be no accounting for what debt you incur, which is kind of insane, actually. I mean, somebody's got to pay for it. And, I mean, the debt.
Yeah, just guess what? Don't have to pay for it.
Go ahead. The debt that we have in each American, man, woman, child, baby, all the way to where they're just, you know, 2 days from, you know, from croaking, all of them owe $50,000. And 20 of it from Barack Obama's tenure as president in just 3 short years.
Right.
Going like this, it can't work. We can't sustain that kind of debt. It would mean, for you and your family as you were growing up, that in addition to the house payment that you have and the 2 car payments that you have, and something from Sears and from American Express and MasterCard. Oh, by the way, you also owe, because you have 2 sons and a wife, $200,000 additional based on what we have not paid for that we are banking out to the to the Chinese, and they're giving us credit and ending up owning our nation. How does that work, that a communist nation is acting like a capitalist to support a supposedly capitalist nation that works on free market principles? Everything is upside down and backwards, and my greatest fear is that we do not have enough Americans that are willing to stand up and be counted and say, no, I will not go forward with this. We make a stand right here, right now, for the principles upon which this nation was founded. Now, that brings me to this. That's why I wrote the book, We Believe, 30 Days to Understanding Our Heritage, which is available at my website at jackwatts.me. Most people have .com, but I chose .me because it's all about me. I think that's a good radio lie. At any rate, you know, this is we have a very difficult situation, and one that is going to require people to stand up and be counted in a way that has not happened since the beginning of World War II.
Right. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Who do you want to be in charge of the government of the United States when all these birds come home to roost? When everything that is unsustainable about the way things are operating today on many fronts, when they finally cannot be sustained any longer, or when the dollar is no longer the world currency, who do you want to be in charge the day that that happens?
As a name, I don't know. As somebody that is a true patriot, that is one that I know for sure. Anyway, Gary, thank you for calling. Let me take another guest here.
Yes, very
Hello,
good.
You're on the
I
you're
wish
on
you
the
best.
And, Hello, this is Jack Watts live. You're on the air.
Obama won't let us drill in the United States, but he'll let Brazil drill, and then we got to buy it from them. I'd like to know that. Hello, are you there?
What, sir? Yes, I'm here. Jack Watts live, as we are talking across this great nation of ours to millions of people who are listening to you right now, sir. What is on your mind?
Well, I want to know why Obama wants all the drilling to happen in Brazil and not in the United States, so we can. I don't want to be paying $5 for a gallon of gas anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. This $5 a gallon is now. This is something that I believe is going to come home and bite him big time. And I'll tell you why. It's because he nixed the pipeline. And when he nixed the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, and it came so soon with the rising gas prices, people know that he is really not somebody who wants to have energy independence for America. But that will be close to all that we have to talk about now today. And I thank you for your call, sir, as we wind up.
That was
our
very
time.
Enlightening. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That was very enlightening.
You're welcome. As
Bye-bye.
We end up on We Believe Live, Jack Watts and I will be with you at this time next week as we talk about American values. And like Ronald Reagan used to say, good night and God bless you and the United States of America.